We kick off the show with the play-by-play man, formerly of the Alaska Aces and now the Edmonton Oilers. He's hit the big time. He's doing a whale of a job. The pleasure is all his. Jack Michaels, how are you?
How are you, Ryan? Good to hear from you.
Great to hear from you. You're doing a bang-up job on TV. I've thoroughly enjoyed the broadcasts. How has it been for you, the transition from radio to TV?
Well, I mean, it hasn't been much of a transition in the sense that I still do, you know, quite a bit of games on the radio when I'm not doing it on TV. But it's been a lot of fun. I've been friends with Louis DeBrusque for 11 years now, so it was kind of easy to just slide over and work alongside a great friend of mine. So, you know, he and the rest of the crew have made it quite easy, and I've really enjoyed myself. And obviously, I've had a front row seat for one of the most spectacular seasons we've seen in the NHL in the last 50 years, and probably the best, unequivocally, we've seen in the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking at the numbers. When you prorate 100 points over 56 games, you're essentially getting around 150-point territory. We got to go back to mid-90s Lemieux when you could have made a real strong case that if he was going to stay healthy, he could be the greatest player of all time. McDavid's on another level right now, and I think, what is it, 6 of his last 7 games, he's put up 3 points. Like, this is nutso.
Yeah, and last night, it's starting to come easier and easier. I mean, you had to really check the score sheet last night to understand he had 2 goals and 2 assists. I mean, it was just that kind of night where, you know, you cruise through the game and all of a sudden he's got 4 points at the end of the night without doing anything by his standards. You know, that's spectacular. So, you know, it's become run of the mill. We're starting to normalize some of these numbers, but, you know, the cold fact remains is no one has even flirted with 150 points in the last quarter century. So that's the kind of year he's had. He's been brilliant. He had a full off season of training. I mean, remember the prior off season, he had been recovering from slamming into the goalpost down in the Saddle Dome. He made a remarkable recovery from that, still finished 2nd in the league in scoring. But I think, you know, we've seen 2 things. Number one, the results when he does have a full off season of training, a quote unquote normal year of training, obviously nothing really normal with COVID still lingering around. But then the second thing is, you know, when even it's your teammate, even it's your off and line mate, you know, wins MVP in the scoring title. You know, I think Connor McDavid is making his own statement about where he stands in the game. And where he stands in the game right now is he is unrivaled. I don't think anyone's, quite frankly, that close to his level. I believe his lead in the scoring race is now 17 points, maybe more than that, 19. And that's in a truncated year. If we're in a full 82-game schedule, he might win the scoring race by 35 points. He's going to come close to winning it by 30 in 56.
It is nuts. So it's 18-point lead right now on his guy that plays with him on the power play. That's the other factor, is that Leon Draisaitl is a whale of a player. There's a lot of points playing with Connor
too. I mean, it's just remarkable.
Yeah crazy. One of the things that got some conversation last year when the topic about the Hart conversation came around was the play of McDavid and Draisaitl in their own end. They were no question the 2 best offensive players in the game, but there were detractors and there was enough, I guess, evidence data-wise to suggest they weren't good defenders. It sounds like that's changed a ton this year, and maybe that's to show you that kind of data isn't great or that it's not consistent, but they have not been weak defenders and just offensively dominant this year. It looks like there's been marked improvement in their own zone. Is that fair, or is that just me reading too hard into numbers?
Well, I mean, as I recall, if you looked at the data last year, it wasn't as though they were below average defenders. I mean, I forget what the Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Yamamoto line did 5-on-5 starting January the 1st, but it was something ridiculous where they, you know, outscored their opponents by 25 goals or something like that. And, you know, in other words, I don't think they were ever below average defenders. I think some would suggest, you know, their play at average 5-on-5 in terms of chances for and against or expected goals and all that kind of stuff. The bottom line is if you look at it this year, the chances when, for instance, Connor McDavid is on the ice, I think there's something like plus 100 or even north of that. Wow. And the rest of the team is something like minus 200. In other words, he's playing at a level right now where, when he's out, the chances are just not only, in his favor, but a landslide in his favor. And you talk to Dave Tippett, who probably has this reputation as a real, kind of defensive minded, coaching oriented, batten down the hatches kind of guy. And he'll tell you that, he keeps his own numbers, and the numbers he's seeing from Connor McDavid right now are unlike anything he's ever seen. Since he started, breaking into the coaching ranks, he started, keeping his own numbers, and he's saying it's ridiculous. I never really bought into it completely, but I think there were enough whispers out there where, I think Draisaitl and McDavid picked up on it and, addressed whatever, and I hesitate to use the word, whatever shortcomings that were perceived out there, and they both have magnificent years. I mean, Draisaitl is right there in the plus-minus conversation. In fact, so is Connor McDavid, so is Darnell Nurse. I mean, the Oilers team as a whole, 5-on-5, has been much stronger, even up and down the lineup, not just McDavid and Draisaitl, than anyone could have anticipated.
Jack Michaels with us, the play-by-play voice of the Oilers on Sportsnet as the night after the Oilers clinched a playoff spot. That was not a big deal in the sense that we knew that was coming statistically. They're going to get there. It just became official. Walk us through the usage of McDavid and Draisaitl together versus apart. When does Tippett like to do it? When does he want them apart? And would you be able to forecast what we'd expect to see in the playoffs, or does that depend on opponent?
I think the biggest thing you have to understand is Dave Tippett has recognized that the mere threat of putting them together is a weapon in its own right. So in other words, whether they're together at the start of the game, whether they're used in spot duty throughout the game, or whether they play together throughout the game, is enough of an issue right now for a lot of coaching staffs to deal with. I mean, just the idea that their rotations might get shaken up if they do hop on together or if they do get split up at times during a period is a distraction. And so I think that's a real, that's a real thing in your holster to go into the postseason with, just the mere threat of it. I do think to some degree it'll depend on opponent. To some degree it'll also depend on how their teammates are playing. Obviously, if you're getting caved in 5-on-5 on some of the other lines, you might be inclined to, spread the wealth around. But even when they don't spend time together from the outset, you can still count on them playing 5-on-5 after a penalty kill. You can still count on them being loaded up near the end of a period, maybe to try to secure a goal in the last minute. So there's still enough times in the game where even if they're not together normally, they're going to be together a couple of times a period, depending on how the flow of the game goes. So I think to some degree, whether they line up together at the start of a game is almost academic. But you're exactly right. Opponent, game situation, time of the game, score of the game, it all factors into how many 5-on-5 minutes they actually play together. But right now, I don't think it seems to matter. I thought it was really telling. Someone asked Tyson Barrie in the aftermath of last night's 5-3 win over Vancouver. Ryan, they asked him, they said, are you guys focused on helping Connor get to 100 points now that you've punched your ticket in the postseason? And Tyson said, I don't think he needs much help from us. He'll get to 100 by himself.
Incredible. It really is. I don't know that we thought a type of season could be had like this again, given how much the sport has changed in the quarter century, you've noted, since we've seen it.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the key right there, Ryan. I think everyone appreciated what a great player Connor McDavid was, but he's found another gear, another level, and now he's taken his game to a place, as you pointed out, that we just haven't seen in 25 years, where his numbers seem to overwhelm the rest of the league.
Jack Michaels with us from the Oilers broadcast team. Mike Smith was a guy that didn't get a deal till later in the offseason, signed for $1.5 million, was coming off that ugly playoff in the bubble in Edmonton where they were beat by a Chicago club that sold at the deadline. I don't know that confidence was high on the goaltending front at the start of the season. Smith was not healthy, but give him credit. He has not looked anything like the guy from August, September in Edmonton. He's been great for them this year. How did he do it?
Well, you know what he's looked like. He's looked like the 2012 version of Mike Smith, who took Arizona to the precipice of the Stanley Cup final, which I think you'll agree was, you know, a conference finals team that was not necessarily high up on the strata in terms of being a great club. Now, that was a team coached by Dave Tippett, and he's got a long memory. And if he was waiting around for 9 years for Mike Smith to duplicate that kind of season, well, he's been rewarded, because Mike Smith, and Ryan, this is going to sound a little bit absurd, but I'm not sure he's not the team MVP right now.
Wild.
And let me repeat that. On a on a team where you've got real contenders, not a contender, Connor McDavid is the MVP. Leon Draisaitl is, you know, one of the game's top five players. And Darnell Nurse deserves some consideration for the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
But on that kind of team, I would suggest to you that Mike Smith is very close to the team MVP. Not only his numbers, which have been terrific. I mean, you know, 18-6-2. I think he's got the league's third best winning percentage. He's right there in save percentage. He's having his best year in 9 years by far. But just the general swagger, the presence he brings in net, the effect he's had on Mikko Koskinen, who now that Smith is there, Koskinen had to carry the mail for a month and wasn't very good. Since Smith has come back, Mikko Koskinen has played to a save percentage approaching 93, which is where Mike Smith's at. And again, just the effect that Smith has had on the whole team in terms of transporting the puck. When you have a team that's loaded with some top players up front, if you've got another guy in addition to guys like Barry and Nurse that can transport the puck, it makes you that much more valuable. I just think you have to be around the team, and unfortunately we're not around enough this year.
Yeah.
But that swagger, that general, almost like a linebacker's mentality that Mike Smith brings to every game, I think is rubbed off on an Edmonton club that at times can be looked at as kind of a, you know, a workmanlike team, a team that doesn't necessarily bring a ton of emotion to the game. McDavid and Draisaitl are fabulous players, but they're not necessarily guys that are fire and brimstone guys. Mike Smith provides all of that and more. And for that reason, he deserves to be in consideration for the team MVP on a club where there's no contest who the MVP in the league is as a whole. So that's the kind of remarkable season he's having that I'm even making that point. And some people think, you know, it's ridiculous, but I'm telling you, that's how great of a year he's had.
Well, and to piggyback on your point, it would not be wild to suggest that Connor McDavid would run away with the Art Ross in the heart. It would not be crazy to suggest Leon Draisaitl would finish top two in league scoring. Wow, it would be impressive if Darnell Nurse was in Norris consideration. But for Mike Smith at age 39 to look like Mike Smith's career year when he was 29, that might be the most surprising outcome any player's had on the team.
Well, again, I really find a hard time finding a guy who's been more valuable. And again, as you know, you're going to need it. You're going to need it because at times the club has, this is the thing I've really noticed, Brian, and this was not a strength of the club for so many years, is more often than not this year in close games where played all that well, they've won them. And the reason they've won them is because of their
great chatting. Appreciate the time. It is a game day again. You folks for Vancouver, Edmonton, that's it's a busy stretch here. You got playoff hockey coming at you. Enjoy it. And I don't think I have to tell you to really soak in what you're watching. It's pretty special. You've talked about it. Enjoy it.
Absolutely, Ryan. Appreciate you having me on. Take care.
Jack Michaels of the Oilers broadcast team.